ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय अता त्वं असि नः ब्राह्मन् परमात्मन् विपश्चितं विश्वं रुद्रबाय द्वाष्टं रुद्रबाय वाष्टं अकुटचित् बाय गतिः अत्ता त्वमसि नो ब्राह्मन् परमात्मं विपश्चितं विश्वं रुद्राभयाद्वाष्टम् अकूटाश्चित् भया गतिः अत्ता त्वमसि नो ब्राह्मन् परमात्मान् विपश्चितम् विश्वं रुद्रावयाद्वष्टम् अकूटाश्चित् भया गतिः My dear Lord, all actually learned persons know you as the Supreme Brahman and the Super Soul. Although the entire universe is afraid of Lord Rudra, who ultimately annihilates everything, for the learned devotees, you are the fearless destination for all. For the purpose of creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this cosmic manifestation, there are three lords, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. The material body is finished at the time of annihilation. Both the universal body and the small unit, the individual living entity's body, are susceptible to annihilation at the ultimate end. However, the devotees do not fear the annihilation of the body, for they are confident that after the annihilation they will go back home, back to Godhead. Chakvadeham punarjanmanaiti mamitisarjuna. If one strictly follows the process of devotional service, he has no fear of death, for he is predestined to go back home, back to Godhead. The non-devotees are fearful of death because they have no guarantee of where they're going or of the type of body they're going to get in their next life. The word Rudrabaya is significant in this verse because Rudra himself, Lord Shiva, is speaking of fear of Rudra. This indicates that there are many Rudras, 11 Rudras, and the Rudra Lord Shiva, who is offering this prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is different from the other Rudras, although he is as powerful as they are. The conclusion is that one Rudra is afraid of another Rudra, because each and every one of them is engaged in the destruction of this cosmic manifestation. But for the devotees, everyone is afraid of Rudra, even Rudra himself. But for the devotee, everyone is afraid of Rudra, even Rudra himself. A devotee is never afraid of Rudra because he is always secure, being protected by the lotus feet of the Lord. As Sri Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Konteya pratijanehi name bhaktaha pranashyati. My dear Arjuna, you may declare publicly that my pure devotees will not be vanquished under any circumstances. Oma jnana timirandasya jnan jana shlakaya chakshurun militam jaina tashmai sri guruve nama nama om vishnu padaya krishna prasadaya bhutale sri mate bhaktivedanta swaminiti namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurvani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskecha Deshitarane Om Yam Brahma Varunindra Rudra Muranti Divyestaver வேதே சுங்க பாத சதி கணேர் கயந்தியம் சுமக ஜன்னாவஸ்தி தகத்தேன மனசா பசியந்தியம் யோகினோ யஷ்யந்தம் நபிது சுரசுர கணதிபதாஸ்மே நம. ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ண சைத்தன்ய பிரபு நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீ அத்வைத கதாரா சிவாசரி கோர் பக்த பிருந்த ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா கிருஷ்ண கிருஷ்ணா ஹரே 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 ராம ஹரே ராம 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 ஹரி ஹரே. தன்யவாத் டிவோட்டீஸ். I haven't given a class in more than a year, so I'm always a little rusty when you don't get to speak. I read, but it's there, so. This is really nice, these prayers. We used to chant these before. I used to at one time, sometimes a month at a time. Sometimes the Gajendra prayers, the Prahlad prayers. There's so many prayers you'll find in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and of the different sets of prayers that are offered by Lord Brahma and other prayers offered to Krishna, this is one of the outstanding set of prayers that one could recite, because Lord Shiva, being the manifestation of Krishna, he's not Jiva, he's not Vishnu, but he's on that level, and he doesn't fall down. He never comes under the contact of the material energy. Although as he acts in this material world, it may appear that he is touched sometimes and he becomes angry. But that anger is just like when Krishna becomes angry, it produces a beneficial result. Whereas anger from the material platform produces a destructive, envious fault. Anger is produced from envy, from unsatisfaction of the senses, and envy of the other living entity or other jiva he's enjoying more than you. He has something you don't have, and you're not satisfied with what you have. So anger comes up. And when that anger becomes manifest, it raises its ugly head, then it's very, very scary. The Bhagavatam, there's a verse, the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Apana Sram Siditim Gauram Yannama Vivashogranam Tatasadjo Vimucheta Yad Bibiti Svayam Bhayam. That even this fear doesn't touch the devotees, because as a result of, like, say, any material contact, the byproduct of that fear is produced. Everything here is fearful. So Apana Samsritim Gauram. This is a ferocious, this word Gauram means it's very ferocious situation here. It's dog eat dog, big eat small, strong beat down the little beat down the littler than them. And this way everyone is ferociously like a jungle of this material energy, fighting because of envy, of desire that is never satisfied. It will never be fulfilled. It's not possible, because we are spirit soul, and this, our home, is not here. And when we make our home the material body, because of the attachment to it, then the fear arises. So this fear is always present, everywhere, every place, every time, and wherever you go, this fear is controlling everything. People get up in the morning, and you will see anywhere, any city. I personally, mostly I'm staying in Thailand, and I live right in the middle of Bangkok. So outside of, I live on high rise, so I'm kind of high, and there are three or four freeways and big roads around where I live. And I have many windows there, it's three balconies, and each direction I can look. 6 o'clock in the morning, the traffic is backed up everywhere. And who goes anywhere at 6 o'clock in the morning unless you're going to take a Japa walk? But they are going far distance and coming so early and going through all this difficulty to go get some money, to go report somewhere. Out of what? Out of fear. Fear that they will have no money. That is the biggest fear. And because of that fear of having no money, People will do anything, and they don't care. Now we see that people, they don't care in this age for any religious principle. Please stop chanting japa. So this fear is driving all people, and even amongst the devotee community, this fear and envy is because there are three levels of devotees, and the Kanishta is prominent, the beginning devotee. A beginning devotee is one who really doesn't have much of a taste. He acts out of fear. Basically, we come here out of fear of God. We come here out of fear of, because it takes knowledge. We have some knowledge. The knowledge is based on understanding that we continue life after life after life. And therefore, we can go on as long as we want to go on, but out of fear, we worship God. That's the beginning state. In the end, it's out of love. But because we don't know God, we don't know Krishna, we worship, we come out of fear of the reaction, because we've all experienced it. Once I was traveling with Srila Prabhupada, and we were in Australia, and we had to go to New Zealand, and New Zealand wasn't favorable to let Srila Prabhupada come, or any devotees, because there was a group of devotees there who had were broken off from ISKCON, and they were causing trouble. Actually, these devotees had militaristic ideas, and they actually were making bombs to blow up McDonald's hamburger places and meat, some slaughterhouse they wanted to destroy. And actually, one of the bombs went off in a few of their members, and they had blown up. So, and they were all just known as Hare Krishnas. These devotees had lived in ISKCON at one time, but they went off with one person named Siddha Sarup, who's still alive. He calls himself Prabhupada. But, so we were not very welcome in New Zealand. So they did give Srila Prabhupada like a 5-day visa, and we went to Auckland for installation of the deities. And it was suggested I shouldn't go in my dhoti either. I should put on a booted and suited. Put on a, you know, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta used to call it booted and suited. And it dressed up in this manner. So I had these, I put on some karmi clothes. And when I used to dress, especially in those days, I always dressed really nice, you know, a really nice suit, really nice silk shirt, because I was working out of Tokyo, and I always had a nice hat, really expensive hat. So when Srila Prabhupada came down the stairs, we're going to the airport, he looked at me and said, "You look like a gangster." Anyway, actually, when we got to the airport, unfortunately, the internal affairs people, I guess you would call them the, they were from immigration, but they were more of the FBI sort. They also thought the same thing, that I looked like a gangster. So they grabbed me, and Srila Prabhupada had to sit outside the door. Well, they took me in for inspection and interrogation. So they took me in this room, and Srila Prabhupada was sitting outside. And then they said, "Let us see, give me your passport." And the officer, there was three of them, the officer was across the table, the lengthwise, not this way, but that way. So I flung the passport at him and hit him in the head. And he looked at me and he said, "I thought you were religious people." Well, I said, "Then why'd you bring me in here? You think I'm a criminal. So therefore I threw this at you. You know, if you thought we were religious, you wouldn't bring me in here." So they checked everything, and usually when police like this, they check and they don't find anything, you know, because they had this hunch, let's go get this guy, and there's nothing there to get. Actually, they thought I was smuggling money or something to Australia, to New Zealand. And then they try to be nice to you for a minute. So he asked me, he's looking through the passport. He said, oh, I see you've been to many places, many countries. Of all these places, which is the best? And I answered, actually, when I came outside, Srila Prabhupada asked me what happened. I told him everything except throwing the passport in the guy's face. And then he asked, then I told him, I said, they asked me what, of all the countries you've been to, which is the best? Your America, outside of your America, of course. Thinking that I would say my home country. And I said, no, I see the same thing everywhere. I told these exact words to Srila Prabhupada outside. I see people getting up, they're working, struggling. Everybody's fearful of they will have no money, so they work very hard. They're fearful for their children's health. They're fearful for the future, so they go to church. Everybody's the same everywhere. I see no difference. And then Srila Prabhupada smiled. He said, yes, very good answer. And then you'll find around that time, he was doing fifth canto or something. He wrote in one purport, when the spiritual master sees that his disciple does not distinguish between this country or this person or that person, he sees them all as equal and the same, he becomes very satisfied. So this is, you know, this is the realization of Krishna consciousness, to come to understand that Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma na Soshati na Kanshati Samasarvesu Bhuteshu. That's bhakti, mad bhaktim labhate param. Further on, I remember though, when we did come out of the airport, it was nighttime. So we get in the car, and the temple was in some area. I'm not familiar with New Zealand, but it was in some area of the city, and we had to pass through this one area where there was some ice cream shops and a few shopping places. It was about 8 o'clock at night, and there were a few people, and there were, you know, it was like two blocks, and then all of a sudden we were back out in the countryside. And Srila Prabhupada said, he said, these people that we just saw in the ice cream shop, walking around thinking they're very happy and satisfied, if we took them and put them over there in the dark forest, they would all be full of fear. They would all be full of fear to be alone like this. He said, but you become Krishna conscious, then you have no fear of anything, because Krishna is always with you. So this fear is like here, we say with the Rudras. Lord Shiva has his own planet between the material world and the spiritual world. And him being like Vishnu, he has his expansions also. So we shouldn't confuse the Shivas in that particular way, that there are many Shivas. No, there is one Shiva, and he expands himself just as there is one Krishna, and just like the candle, it is lit in many ways, and it's expansion from one. So each planet in the Vaikuntha, there is one Vishnu, not many Vishnus, and there is no competition between them. Although it has been purported here that there is, the Rudras are afraid of each other, because their job is to destroy. That is what they do. So they're thinking, he may destroy me. So to continue with that other point is that this bayam, this eating, sleeping, mating, and fearing, the four defects, the four activities of the conditioned soul. So we should sit and think of that. The fear is always present. The fear is always in control of everything. During World War II, during World War I, I personally was in war in Vietnam, and I saw so much stuff and did so many things, but the fear was there when the bombs are coming in and you're shooting and so forth. And if one was intelligent, he would contemplate his situation here. But unfortunately, 99.9% of the people don't even contemplate their situation. They don't understand that they have to die. They think they're going to go on forever. They don't understand that how their situation is so precarious and so difficult. And to speak to them is very difficult. You may find people that will listen. In India, you will find the most people that have some basic understanding. And then you may go in Europe or America, you will find. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta sent Bhan Maharaj and a few other disciples to London, they weren't having much success. Because the English were thinking, oh, the Indians, they are our subjects. And so their pagan religion doesn't equal our religion. Because part of the Church of England, they don't have any philosophy. They don't discuss philosophy. Philosophy and religion are separated matters. Where actually you cannot separate it. Because philosophy without religion is a mental speculation, and religion without philosophy is just sentiment and fanaticism. There is no understanding of what is God. Allah. Everyone is, they are saying Allah. Allah told me. We'll do this for Allah. Who is Allah? Allah. What does Allah mean? Does somebody know what Allah means? The one. Actually, it means the one. And it's not even a verb. Krishna is a verb or a noun. Allah is not even a noun. It's just a describing something impersonal. So without this knowledge, and to speak to them out of fear and attachment, people don't want to hear anything. You can't sit. Most people walk away, change the subject. Either they're too demoniac and they want to argue with everything and you can't discuss anything because they're too sinful, or they're too attached to some idea and you can't talk with them about that. So in Bhagavad Gita it says, do not disrupt the mind of the ignorant. Just encourage them. So we can try to encourage people, but at the same time, it's very difficult and it's a very hard thing. So when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he met Rabindranath Tagore. He was a great poet from Bengal, famous in India. Everybody knows him, a great, very recognized person. Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta met everybody. Everybody came to see them. Kings and the heads of state. And so many came. And when they walked away, I told someone yesterday that when this Subhas Chandra Bose went to see Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he was so into the cause of Indian independence that he didn't care about sadhus or about spiritual life. So he actually came to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta because his father was a big lawyer, and his father was very well known everywhere, and a very rich man. So when he met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he was very impressed. And so in one court case, he won for a king. Instead of the king paying him in money, he gave him an elephant. So he had an elephant, and the Gaudiya Math people would borrow this elephant for processions and then bring it back, and he maintained it. So his son, who became a national, like the national leader of the Congress, he didn't like sadhus. He didn't have much. So he came to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta to tell him, why you don't give me all these intelligent men you've collected to help the Indian cause? Your cause is not important. Right now we need Swaraj. We need independence. And as usual, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta told him, what is your independence? India will get independent when Krishna wants it to get independence. It will happen automatically. And one day, you may find, he said, because your consciousness is so fixed on the English that you will die and you will be born in England. And you will come back to India to fight the same cause you're now the head of. He said, so now the Indians, they are in charge of, the English are in charge of India. He said, but one day the Indians will be in charge of England. Because this is the nature of the world. Everything is changing back and forth. So why do anything? You should simply concentrate on this Krishna consciousness. And in this way, when he left, because he wanted the men, and he also wanted money that they had collected at one big pandal, a big program. He thought they should give part of the money for the Indian cause. He said, yes, you keep your money. And when he left, he said, I've met many sadhus, but this one can take over the whole world. He was very impressed. So this is the understanding. This is the position that one should take to devotional service. Sevan mukhi jiva dao swayamevaspuratya baha. By service. One shouldn't remain on the neophyte platform. Petty things. Small things. Krishna will maintain you. It doesn't matter. We've heard it, we've seen it. These monkeys, nobody wants them, but they're growing, and they're growing in numbers. We throw rocks, we hit the stick. You know, we're the prisoners. We're locked in the buildings. They're running free. But still they're growing. Cockroaches, mosquitoes, nobody wants them, but still they produce. So Krishna will not maintain his devotees? One can do, one can know. Everything will be maintained. One person, he also, in that continuing line of thought, he went to, when Srila Prabhupada was here, I can just imagine, like I was going to say, how many people came to see Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. And even Hitler and his main man, Hitler, what's his main man? Eichmann or Rommel or whatever, they also knew about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. And he sent his people to preside over different programs. Because this Rabindranath Tagore, he told Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, these English, they are not intelligent enough. They are not philosophical. Go to Germany. Because the Germans, they are intelligent. And they will appreciate this. So actually, when they did go to Germany, because the Germans weren't, like England was all over the world, fancy-pantsy, you know, cheating everybody out of their countries. But the Germans were, at this time, before World War II, they were, you know, not in the same mood. So, many of them chanted and some came back with these devotees back to India. And so, you know, that is, that Rabindranath Tagore told him to do that. So that was the instruction to Sevan Mukhi Jiva Dao Swayam Asparatyadaha Atah Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Grayam Indriyahi. Sevan Mukhi Jiva Dao. By seva, everything is manifested. There's one story also. You know, Prabhupada taught us all these things, and I was just saying that if Prabhupada was here now, that was my point to bring all this up. Imagine how many people would come here to see him. When he left the world, most of the devotees were Westerners. And we would come to Los Angeles or wherever, and they would go to the university and bring professors. But people were not interested. And I was once in Australia, one minister came to see Srila Prabhupada, but not big people. And in India, some people came. But imagine if Prabhupada was here now, the way Krishna consciousness is spread. We couldn't keep him out of here. There'd be a million people come here to see him now. That's how great Prabhupada is and what he gave. Everything by service, you can know. Not by... Prabhupada had some people that would come would irritate him, especially one man from Bombay. If you've listened to Prabhupada's lectures, there's one fellow that was coming daily, and you know who I'm talking about. He was always acting like he was Prabhupada's friend and quoting Bhagavad Gita and agitating. You know, when I was there once and I grabbed him and said, "Why don't you shut up? You know, who do you think you are? You're not equal to Prabhupada." He thought he was the same thing. But he kept coming and bring two of his friends. But because he never surrendered, because if you want to know ABC, first you must enter the class. If you haven't entered the class, you have no right to ask the guru a question. Entering the class means you surrender. You have to give up and surrender. In the beginning, everybody was surrendered that joined in Prabhupada's time. Except a few CIA and the CIDs and people that joined to study us to see if we were a criminal element. Otherwise, we surrendered. When I came, I just came back from Vietnam. I had $5,000. I just gave it to sleep on the floor. I only lived a mile away in San Francisco. My father had three cars and a big house, begging me to come home. No, I'm gonna sleep on the floor here with one toilet for 20 people. You know, and the dhotis were all in a cardboard box. Nobody had their own dhoti. You got one out of the box. You know, that was what we had. You got your two chapatis, the three chapatis. Nobody went to the store. There was no snacks to go have a snack. We couldn't go out and let's go to the store there and get a soda or a snack or some samosa. I'm hungry. What was fed. We ate it. And we did this for years. I was with Jayananda Prabhu when in Berkeley. And Jayananda Prabhu, you've all heard of Jayananda, Mr. Rathyatra, he was a saint. He gave Prabhupada his money, and then he went and drove a taxi in the beginning to pay the rent. This is old devotees, Brahmananda, Jayananda, these are in the very beginning, how they gave everything. So I was with Jayananda Prabhu, and Jayananda worked and chanted. And he never spoke anything about anybody. And so sincere. But he liked prasadam. He liked his prasadam. He wasn't fat or anything, but he liked prasadam. So this letter came from India. Prabhupada had gone to India. So something came out in the newsletter. Srila Prabhupada said we should only eat two chapatis and a cup of dal a day. I mean, he came to Hawaii once and he said a yogi can live on two coconuts a day. But, you know, we didn't interpret that to send a newsletter out saying Prabhupada said we should only eat two coconuts a day. Prabhupada always said you eat to your full satisfaction. Don't eat more, just be satisfied. Be in ecstasy. So we started cooking. We had like eight devotees in this little temple. We were cooking 16 chapatis and this pot of dal. And then some guests would wander in at lunchtime. We would go to the campus every morning at 9 o'clock and we would chant up until 12. And then we would come back to the temple chanting, which was like four. This is in Berkeley. Berkeley is a big university, University of California, Berkeley. And so we would bring some people back. And then we'd have to rip half of our chapati with tears in our eyes to put it over for that person. And this went on for a couple months. And finally, after about the first month, Jayananda, he says, "Help me write a letter to Prabhupada." So I sit down and Jayananda, with tears in his eyes, is writing Srila Prabhupada. "Srila Prabhupada, I love you. I do everything for you. I have nothing but you in my consciousness and your service. But I can't live on two chapatis a day. I can't do this. I've done everything I can do, but I can't do two chapatis a day. I'm a failure. Then she finally, probably, this letter comes back about a month later, probably, who has said this nonsense? Take prasad. Who has said two chapatis? But that is the way it was. Sevan Mukhi Jivadao. So in this way, this man from Bombay was irritating Prabhupada. And one day, then Srila Prabhupada said, today we go on the walk. And he had, I don't know who it was, Giriraj or somebody, read Krishna book. When we see him coming, and this is on a morning walk on the beach, open the book and we will walk and read Krishna book. Then he cannot talk. So here he comes, and out came the Krishna book. And you can hear this on these morning walks, if you find that. And they're just reading the Krishna book, walking in Bombay. So in this way, after about 3 days, this man got the hint that Srila Prabhupada didn't want to talk with him because he was wasting his time, because he was on the mental platform. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta also had one man who was the same. He was a rich man, and he would come and he would talk. And then he would ask Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, he would ask him questions. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, you cannot understand this topic with your mind. You know, jnani praya samudapasya namanta eva jivan samukharitam bhavadiya vartam. You cannot understand it like this with his mental speculation. So he said, in this way he would bother him. So then one day he came, and then Srila Bhakti said, I will not answer this. Go ask my pujaris. He said, what do they do not know philosophy like you? They're just pujaris. But he didn't understand our pujaris aren't like the pujaris you'll find that make a business. Our pujaris are more learned than almost anybody. They're not serving Krishna without knowledge. So he told them, you go serve my, go, you see my pujaris, they're polishing the brass right now. You go ask them. So reluctantly he went over. And he said, I have a question. And the pujari said, we don't have time to talk to you. Sit down and help us polish the brass. We have service to do. So when it was finished, he went back to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. And he said, you know, when I was polishing the brass, the answer to the question came in my mind. Now I understand. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, yes, that is the way to understand. Even if you don't know anything, if you serve, you will manifest. They will become manifest. Everything will become manifested. Atashi Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Grayam Indriyahi Sevan Mukhi Jivadao Swayam Aspurat Yadaha. It will become manifested. So that is our way. Those who have faith in Krishna and Guru, then everything becomes revealed. And so for the life of the devotees, there is no fear. Fear is for those that want to keep Krishna's possessions. If you want to feel fear, just go in the store and take something and put it in your pocket. Then you immediately feel fear. It's not mine. I'm doing something wrong. So due to lack of education, people are stealing every minute. They eat food they don't offer. They take everything. They're taking the... Every turn of the fan is karma. You're paying for that turn. And unless you're doing devotional service, you're getting a reaction. You cannot take anything. It is all Krishna's. Everything is Krishna's. There's nothing that is not Krishna's. Everything rests on him. Mata smriti arjanam apovanam cha. Even our remembrance, our knowledge, all possessions. You just read Bhagavad Gita. Tomorrow I'll give some Bhagavad Gita class, then I quote verses. But and this is Bhagavad Gita. This is the understanding. Everything is Krishna's. And they don't know it. So if you go in a store and steal one thing, you feel fear. Because if you get caught, and you, even if you don't, there is a reaction. Afterwards, somebody will steal something from you. Everything is reaction. I used to mess with the monkeys in the old days when I was young. I was like 20 or something. And in Vrindavan, you know, so many monkeys come. And they weren't that many monkeys then. But they stole your dhoti. We went to Radha Kund one day with Srila Prabhupada, and he sat on the kund. And then he said, for you who don't know, he said, he told us to take our bath. He sat, but he said, take a bath. He only stopped the bathing when devotees started wrestling in there and kicking around, and they lost respect. I saw some fellow swing off of this tree the other day. Can't believe it. This tree is a great, great devotee, and someone was swinging on the tree. Was he a monkey? He doesn't know what this is? One should be conscious. So anyway, I used to mess with these monkeys. And so many stories, it's funny. But I've had my glasses stolen 10 times. I've paid. So I don't mess with the monkeys anymore. You know? So many times I've had them ripped off. And now I walk through town blind. You know? But I don't put my glasses on. So you will get a reaction, whether it's now or later. So they want to steal, you know. Evam pavartitam chakram nanu. How is it? Evam pavartitam chakram anu tishtanti manavaha. Everything, whatever you eat, whatever you do, it's in the Gita there. Everything is Krishna's. So the karmis, the materialists, and our only help is if we can give them some information. Because even the people that come here, they don't know anything. They see the deity, and what do they want? Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. They want money for sense gratification. And in this way, they come here because they're afraid. They want some liberation. They want freedom from sins. They go to these big temples. They give this monkey Bihari, thinking they'll make a business. They go to Balaji. They give some money. They give it out of fear. They want good luck. They want protection. Everybody goes to pray. If you go in Thailand, it used to be Buddha and some Brahma. Now it's Shiva everywhere. Deities of Shiva. Everybody worshiping Shiva and Durga. The demoniac. They want something. There's no conception amongst the Chinese population about devotion. Because in Buddhism, because it's so empty and there's no philosophy, basically, everything is do it or don't do it. I want it all or I don't want anything. And they go to God, give me, protect me, chokdi, chokdi, chokdi. They want, give, luck, good luck for money. And this is India, it's changed everything. So devotion, even though they come, they don't know what is pure devotion. This line we come from is very special. It is superior to the Madhva, it is superior to the Vishnu Swami, it is superior to the Neem Barka. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Prabhupada, they explained all these. We went over all these topics. There is no top philosophy like Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. There is no sweet process. You know, I went to South India in 1971. And we went, the Bodhiyas with, we went to Udipi. I mean, first we went to, I went to Tirupati. And they didn't let Westerners in the temple. So then they had a meeting of the board, and we talked with them, and then after they said, yes, if we deny you, it would be like Jayan Vijay denying the Kumaras in the Vaikuntha, we'll be cursed. So they brought us in the temple, we had the darshan. And then we went to Udipi, and the first day, I mean, our knowledge was very limited, because we didn't have any books. We had at that time a couple of, we had the limited edition of Bhagavad Gita, and we had Ishopanishad, and we had a couple canos, two channels of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we went, and there was this Pechbor Swami, big Swami there, and he was giving class on the teachings of Jayatirtha from palm leaves. And he had about this many people sitting. And I was with one other devotee, and we had both had jaundice. And we had been, you know, our base, we had opened the Bangalore temple, and we were getting better. So we went in the afternoon, and then we sat there and listened. And this is how much we knew, honestly. And this is the proof where it says that even a boy can defeat the greatest philosophers, or a lame man can cross a mountain by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. raised my hand. And he said, yes. And I said, what's the difference between Lord Shiva and Vishnu? I mean, what a dumb question. They're Madhvites. And I didn't know if they knew the difference, because everybody else I met didn't. They thought Shiva and Vishnu were the same. So he said, he explained it. And so then we had a meeting with him after. And then he said, yes, we respect Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he's not God like you say he is. And we really didn't know how to answer that, you know. And so then he said, and your Radha Rani is not mentioned in the Bhagavatam. And you're worshiping Radha Krishna. So I really couldn't answer that properly. So then I asked him, I said, so then what is the Yuga Dharma then? And he said, Hari Nam Sankirtan. Then I said, why aren't you doing it? Why are you reading so many books? And he had a good laugh. And we were the, like, he brought us, John Mastami, we were the guest of honor. And it's just a funny little story here that they have these big things hanging, and people climb up with, they try to break these, you know the Mexican thing? What do you call it? The piñatas. They try to break these things, and there's money and stuff in there that falls out. So there's a crowd of 100,000 people, and the swamis are on the platform. So they are throwing the coconuts to the crowd, like this, like little girls, you know. And so this devotee I was with, he gave us a coconut to throw. I said, let it go. I don't want to mention his name, but this guy could have been a professional baseball player or a cricket player. He had a great arm. He threw it about 500 meters up in the air, and the whole crowd just sat there. And maybe the demigods pulled it up higher for the thrill of the devotees. It just went up and up, and then it had this hang time where it just sat there. And then it came down. And they went crazy, and the swamis loved it. Another one, another one. And they're launching them out there. You know, but when we came to Vrindavan for Kartik that year, that was 1972. No, yeah, 72. And Radha Damodar, Prabhupada was staying in his rooms in Radha Damodar. We were staying at Keshigat, in the palace of the king there. It wasn't very nice, believe me. There's a lot of bat smell and very dark, a lot of mosquitoes. And when we came in, we took the horse and buggy from Mathura to here. That's how I used to have to get. You know, I used to take the rickshaw from here to the train station to Mathura for 18 rupees. We'd have a big argument. He wanted 20, I wanted to give him 18. All the way from the front to the bus to the train station. So we took the horse and buggy. We came, went in Prabhupada's room, and we started telling him all about our South Indian tour and how we made 80 life members in Bangalore, and then we went to Coimbatore and this and that, and then we went to Tirupati. And then I told him I couldn't answer these questions. And then Srila Prabhupada started giving the answer. No, Radharani is mentioned by the word Sri, and then he quoted all this, and then he mentioned about, yes, Lord Chaitanya is mentioned here. And this way we learned. He taught us, but we didn't know, because, you know, the devotees at that time were terrified to go to South India, because we had heard that the South Indian taxi wallahs know more than the sadhus in the north, and they all know Sanskrit. Everybody's like, well, I'm not going down there. And I'd been there earlier. I had gone with Srila Prabhupada to Madras. And we went to Vishakhapatnam. We went to Madras. It was called Madras then. And I didn't find that the taxi drivers were quoting Sanskrit. So we went back. We went to Bangalore. But what was I going to say? Anyway, Prabhupada, he gave us all the information about it. We were staying at Keshigat, and then Prabhupada was giving Bhagavatam in the morning under the tree there. Now there's no trees. Now it's this tomb that they've made it. But it was all trees and parrots and everything, and very nice Vrindavan. And in the afternoon, nectar devotion. So anyway, this is Prabhupada's grace that we're here. And you know, when we first got this land out here, we put some huts up here. And the only way to get into town is we had our own rickshaw here. We bought one and had it modified for Westerners, a little bigger. And we'd drive each other into town and drive each other out. And finally we hired one man, to be the rickshaw, permanent rickshaw. He slept here. Anybody wanted to go, because there was nothing here. And that was nice. It was all forest and peacocks and everything. Many peacocks would come. We'd give them rice every morning. And that was Vrindavan. The river Jamuna was down here. You know where Ananda Krishnavan is? Just there. You go back behind there, that was the Jamuna. It was a road. There was no Ananda Krishnavan. There was nothing there. Krishna Balaram tree. And then you go, no, actually you go down to the Parikram Marg, take a left, and go 50 meters, and go down another 50 meters, and you're at Jamuna. Clear water, see to the bottom. So, you know, imagine 100 years ago. So we're only thinking how it was, and now it's a different story. The sweetness is slowly. One person told me, one newer devotee, he told me, he said, yes, you people were lucky. You had the last of the good times in Kali Yuga. And I said, yes, I think that's true. Things were really, at least it was the end. Now things are hard to find anything that's not polluted and nice. But either way, the Hari Nam, the Dham is always pure, the holy name is always pure, the Vaishnavas are always pure, Tulsi is always pure, Bhagavatam is always pure, and we just take shelter of those things. Vancha kalpa tarubhya shcha kripa sindhubhya vacha, utita anam bhavani bhyo vaishnavi bhyo namo namah, Hari Bhom.